Good morning, Second Service. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Philippians, the third chapter. And in a few moments, we'll begin reading in verse 4, read through the remaining part of the chapter. There are three things that I am very confident about. First, I know that before I was saved, I was lost, on my road to hell, and desperately needed a Savior. Number two, I know that there was not anything I could have done to have saved myself. And number three, I know that God took that into account, sending His only begotten Son to the cross of Calvary to atone for and pay the price for my sin. I know I was lost. I know I could not help myself be found. And I know Jesus took my place on the cross. That is the testimony of the Apostle Paul as we read our passage of Scripture for today. Last week, if you recall, we looked at the first three verses of chapter 3, where Paul said, first of all, I want to give you a stirring word. Rejoice in the Lord. The book of Philippians is about the joy of the Lord. We see it on the screen. J-O-Y. Jesus. Others. Yourself. That's how to find and follow the joy of the Lord. Put Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. I not only talked about a stirring word last week, I talked about a strong warning. Paul said, be careful. There are scavengers, evil workers, those that would devour you and those that would deceive you. And be warned today, the Bible has many enemies, and those enemies war against the truth of the Word of God and those who hold those truths to be present. And then the third thing that I said was that Paul said, we are to worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Jesus Christ, and make no confidence for the flesh. So that leads us into the passage that I am now about to read. Paul identifying the true marks of a real Christian, one who knows that he was lost, one who knows that he could not save himself, one who knows that Jesus Christ is the only way, he's the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Christ. And the marks of that man, woman, boy, or girl is that he will be a worshiper. He will be one who rejoices in Christ, and he will be one who puts no confidence in the flesh, verse 4. Paul then says, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Father, what a powerful and vital passage of Scripture. And would you help us this morning to open our hearts and minds that we might receive it and digest it and appropriate it, understanding what real biblical salvation looks like. Hide me behind the cross. Speak to this congregation. Let them see Jesus and not me. And may your return, your word not return void, but accomplish the purpose that it has been sent for. In Jesus' name, amen. The simplest way to address those verses is, first of all, to look at the life that the Apostle Paul had lived. And then we'll look at the things that he lost in order to find real life in Christ. And then we'll take a quick look at the Lord, knowing that next week I'm going to come back and pull verse 10 out of that passage and unpack some greater truths from that verse than we have time to look at this morning. So first of all, think about the life that the Apostle Paul had lived. He was born into the Jewish nation. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. On the eighth day of his life, he was circumcised like all of the males were in the Jewish nation. He was raised up with a teacher called Gamaliel, who taught him the law. He then became a Pharisee. One of the reasons he could be elevated to that high place in the Sanhedrin is that he was from the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He held a high and exalted position among the Jewish leaders. When he confronted this new Christianity, he hated it with such a zeal and a passion that he persecuted Christians. He was about here and there with letters of intent so that he had the authority to have Christians arrested, imprisoned, and many of them slain. It is Saul of Tarsus that we find when the first Christian martyr loses his life, they piled their coats at Saul's feet as they stoned Stephen to death. Now Paul comes back and recounts what he was and who he was before he met the Lord Jesus. And strange of all things, he says the following: what I was and who I was could have been salvation for me if we put confidence in the flesh. If what you are and who you are can save you, I could have been saved by being a Hebrew of the Hebrews, an Israelite, circumcised, lifted up to be a Pharisee in the Sanhedrin, zealous of good works, and all that I did and all that I was would have saved me if you could be saved by the flesh. So he addresses all of this. He says, racially, I was a Jew. You see, you have to understand in that day how Jews felt about everybody. Jews said, we are of our father Abraham. And the Israelites concluded as a result of that, they were God's chosen elect. Anybody else, regardless of their nation, their nationality, where they were from, or what they did, was considered a half-breed or worse. The Samaritans were called dogs by the Jews because they were not pure-blood Jews. Jews were superior. Everybody else was inferior. So if you were a pure-blood Jew, you considered yourself the elite of the elect, God's chosen people. God did indeed choose Israel. God called Israel the apple of his eye. But God provided for Israel, just as he has for all Gentiles, a way to be saved. And salvation was not, is, and will never be who you are and what you are. It will always be by way of the blood of the cross of Calvary. But racially speaking, being a Jew, He could have said, I have confidence in my ancestry. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. I am a Pharisee. I have been circumcised. I'm of good stock. Therefore, the flesh, who I am and what I have done, has saved me. He then talks about his religion. He said, when it comes to religion, you will not find anyone who had more zeal, more enthusiasm, more excitement about them than I do or than I did. He said, I was so busy that I spent day and night pursuing what I thought was the enemy. I chased down professing Christians. I came to these upstart churches. I upset them. I turned them around. I persecuted them. I had them arrested. Some of them died because of my voice and because of my move. I was zealous for the Jewish religion, and I pursued it with all of my heart. So he said, if you want to talk about religion, I had religion. I had everything that a man would want when it comes to being excited and zealous for what I believed. He even came to spirituality. And he said, concerning the law, the Ten Commandments, I've looked back over every one of them. I've kept the Sabbath. I've honored my parents. I've never cursed the Lord. I've put him first. I've never committed physical adultery. I've never killed anybody. I've never stolen anything. Concerning the law, I am blameless. And when Paul comes to this place, he begins to look at all the things that he has done. Racially, I'm of the stock of Israel. Religiously, I am zealous and I am a persecutor of the church, excited about what I believe. And spiritually, he said, look at me, I am blameless. I have not broken the law. So if anybody ever lived that could have been converted by who he was and by what he did, Paul said, you are looking at him. I am that man. And then comes Paul's loss. He said, one day when I was looking at the law, I saw that I had been covetous. And when I realized that I had been jealous and desirous of what someone else had, I realized that when I sinned in one place, I sinned in all places. When I broke one law, I broke all the laws. And he suddenly realized that he had religion, but that's all that he had. And young people and moms and dads and golden agers, religion is the emptiest feeling in all the world. It requires you to be something and do something that you do not have the ability to be or do. Religion is empty. Christianity is full of the joy of the Lord. Christianity is full of the abundant life. Christianity offers victory in Jesus, but religion is empty. And Paul said, I suddenly saw myself as empty. And all the things that I had always bragged about, those great assets, and then those liabilities, one day in my heart, they flip-flopped. And all the things that I had been so proud of suddenly became liabilities. And all the things that I had dismissed suddenly became assets. Now, every one of us understands the legal jargon of bankruptcy. Now, whether you know all of the ins and outs or not, here's what bankruptcy primarily is. When what you owe becomes much greater than what you have, and when you recognize and realize that you will never have enough to retire your indebtedness, you may file bankruptcy. Of course, there's more to it than that, but that's the concept. Paul said, I am spiritually bankrupt. I recognize that being of the stock of Israel, from the tribe of Benjamin, circumcised, a Jew and a Pharisee of the Sanhedrin, was worthless when it came to my salvation. He said, I realized that persecuting the church and being excited and enthusiastic about what I believed was worthless if I did not believe the right things. He said, when I looked at the fact that concerning the law, I thought myself to be blameless and then recognized that the law is not about keeping with your hands a physical thing. It's about being in your heart a spiritual thing. He said, I realized that that was worthless. And all the things I had been counted as assets and all the things that I had thought were liabilities flip-flopped. And suddenly, he said, I was spiritually bankrupt. I was poor in spirit, as Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount. And he said about himself, I'm no longer proud of the flesh, have confidence in the flesh. I know full well that the flesh cannot and will not save me. For if anybody could be saved by the flesh, it would be me. But my flesh has let me down. My flesh is all about religion. What I need is a relationship with Jesus Christ. It is said that if you take all the money in the world and all the people in the world and divide up all the money in the world among all the people in the world, everybody in the world has about $150 in the bank. Now, most of you would panic if you were told that, because you know this coming week or month you're going to need a lot more than that. There are places on the face of this earth where if you told a man or a woman that they had $150 in the bank, they'd be overjoyed, because that's a year's wages or more in some places. But $150 in the bank for the great majority of us, and we'd say, oh my goodness, house payment, car payment, credit card, groceries, whatever, it's going to be eaten up and I'll have nothing left. I will be bankrupt. I do see a positive side to this, however. If you have only $150 in the bank, you are 10 trillion times richer than the United States of America. Unfortunately, you get that. But with $150 in the bank, it won't be long before you cry out and say, I'm broke. I cannot pay my debt. Paul came to the place on the Damascus Road in the book of Acts where going to Syria to have Christians arrested and persecuted, a light shined from heaven, a voice came, Saul, it is hard for you to continue to rebel against the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And Saul of Tarsus fell on his face before God and in an amazing moment became Paul the Apostle, because he lost his religion when he found his Savior. His life beforehand became rubbish, worthless. All that he had done, all that he had, all that he had bragged about, all that he cared about, all that he was, rubbish, because nothing was worth what God had given him in Jesus Christ the Lord. So you come then to the third point, the Lord that he found. And again, just a quick mention this morning, because I'll spend some time here next week. But Paul went from Saul of Tarsus to Paul the Apostle, from religion to a relationship. Now, you know what a relationship is? A relationship occurs when a stranger is introduced and gets to know another individual. We who were strangers to God, strangers to grace, strangers to Jesus, by the Holy Spirit were introduced to God's love and God's amazing grace. And when we were introduced to Jesus and got to know Him, that I may know Him, Paul said, We recognized in him that we did not have the effort of religion, we had the sufficiency of grace. We did not have to work and hope for the best. We had to trust and obey, knowing that saved in Jesus Christ, we are secure for eternity. He moved from religion, which is empty and void and vain, to a relationship which is full and complete and joyful. He met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and therefore the Apostle Paul could say, I now have a relationship with God. Now let me tell you this, and listen very closely to see the beauty of it, the multiplied beauty of it. You not only have a relationship with Christ, but now your Father is Almighty God. Your inward dwelling is the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't just meet Jesus. The Trinity comes to rescue you and deliver you from the depths of sin. God is your Father. Jesus is your Savior. And the Holy Spirit lives within you from that point of salvation throughout all eternity. You have a brand new relationship. You no longer have to say, I'm a Jew. You can say, I'm a child of the King. You no longer have to say, I've been circumcised. You can say, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. The flesh has died and passed away. You no longer have to say, I am blameless when it comes to the law. You can say, I am clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You no longer have to say, I'm the stock of Israel. You can say, I am the called of the God of glory. And by grace have I been saved through faith and not of myself, not of works, lest any man should boast. You no longer have to say, I'm righteous under the law. You can now say, I am covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. And therefore, saved by grace, secure in the Spirit, I am glory bound. When you lose your religion and you find a relationship with Jesus Christ, it changes everything. Your liabilities go down. Your assets go up. Your spiritual bankruptcy is met by a Father who's rich in all this world's goods and more, and you can say, I'm not what I was, I am what I'm going to be by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, and that's the life of the Apostle Paul. When you lose your religion and find a relationship with Jesus Christ. When you worship God, when you rejoice in Jesus, and when you put no confidence in the flesh, but you get to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Let's stand. In a group this size, there are bound to be people who have held on to religion all your life. Pastor, I was raised in a church. Well, when I was a young person, I was baptized. Well, I've gone to church all my life. I taught a class. I've given much. I've worked in Bible school. I've sung in the choir. Look at all the things that I have done. And it's good that you are busy serving Him. But it's not good if you think your busyness and your service merits your salvation. We do not serve Him to be saved. We serve Him because we are saved. We do not work to be saved. We work because we have been redeemed. So check your religion this morning. Do you find your life empty and void and vain? And this to be an expression of endurance? I know I need to go to church, and I go to church on Sunday mornings two or three times a month or two or three times a quarter. I go to church, but the truth is I never really carry the joy of the Lord out of a service into my secular life. I go back to business on Sunday afternoon just like it was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. I go to church, but I don't really have a relationship. I don't really know Him. I don't know the power of the resurrection. I've not entered into the fellowship of His death on the cross of Calvary and His ultimate coming back to life. I struggle with that, but I push it off. I don't think about it any more than I have to. But if I were truthful this morning and I stood before the Lord today, I'd probably have to talk about my membership and my baptism and my attendance. I'm not sure I could talk about the day when I confessed my sin and pled with God to come into my heart through Jesus and cleanse me and save me. Dear friend, if you have religion and you don't have a relationship, you're going to bust hell wide open. It's not politically correct. It's not popular. It's the truth. It is the truth. So I want to call you out of that religion today. Who you are and what you've done and how much you think of yourself. Every last one of us are despicable, filthy rags in the sight of a holy God. And if it were not for grace, this whole room would spend eternity in hell. I want to call you away from religion. And I want to point you to a relationship with Christ that is your only hope for eternity. And I want to tell you that all the things you count as worthy and worthwhile, all your vocations and recreations, your bank account, your house, your car, everything you've gained in life, it's rubbish when compared to Jesus Christ and His salvation. And you better get the scales right. You better recognize that who you are and what you've done is a liability. And only Christ is the truest of assets. So there will be pastors in the altar. Ben will lead us in a congregational song. If you don't know and know that you know that you have a relationship with Christ, come and let us talk with you and pray with you. If you want to become a part of our church family, the way we receive members, you come and let us talk with you about that. If you just need to come to the altar and pray, God's touched your heart and you have a need to pray this morning, we invite you to come do that while we sing together.
As the deer panteth.